Welcome to the St. Michael Weekday Meditations. My name is Robin Hinkle, and I will be leading our meditation today. Our theme this Easter is blessing. Once you've been transformed by God's love, you can't help but want to share that love with others. This Easter, let's learn how to bless one another by sharing the grace and love of Christ with our friends and neighbors. Joining Christians everywhere during this Easter season, we proclaim with joy, Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. Come, let us adore him. Alleluia. A reading from 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 41 to 50. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from stars in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, "The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Here ends the reading. Today, I want you to put yourself into the time of the earliest Christians at the time this letter was written. Christians today have the benefit of 2,000 years of theological hindsight based upon solid scripture, brilliant prayerful reasoning, and the experience of billions of faithful followers of Christ over the last two millenniums. But I want you to think about what it was like way back in those days of early Christianity. Around 54 CE, when this letter from Paul was written to the church in Corinth. Did you know it is one of the earliest Christian writings we have? Scholars believe the Gospel of Mark was written sometime after this letter, between 55 to 65 CE. The Gospel of John was written even later than that. So what we see here are first century Christians trying to figure out who Jesus is, if the resurrection really occurs, and what the resurrection means. All they really know at this point are the stories spread around the region about Jesus, his miracles, his teaching, his death, and his resurrection. But the stories are for the most part oral teachings. These Christians do not yet have it all set out in writings that they can pray over and meditate upon. And they, just like we do, are thinking through the big questions. How is Jesus the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah? And can we trust these stories of a man coming back from the dead? Now, the one thing the apostles and Paul are clear on is the resurrection. It is the rock upon which their faith in Jesus is founded. Seeing the risen Lord changed everything for them. And after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit lit them on fire, they went from fearful followers to bold preachers, running to and fro, telling everyone they could about this man, their risen Lord, Jesus Christ. After meeting the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, Paul goes from being a persecutor of early Christians to one of its greatest proponents. But the resurrection of Jesus leads to the question, what does the resurrection mean for me and you and the followers of Jesus? Will we be raised to heaven too? If so, will we have bodies? What will they be? Will we be recognizable as individuals? Or will we be free-floating spirits? Paul, who had not been with Jesus during Jesus' earthly ministry, is trying to figure it all out. And it is clear this deeply faithful man is inspired by God as he finally realizes that we are baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. The death of our Lord is what allows us to be in His holy presence. And through the resurrection of Jesus, who was raised to new life, we will be too. This conclusion of Paul is confirmed by the other apostles, who did live with and walk with and eat with and heard the teachings and the claims of the Lord firsthand. John, the gospel writer, tells us what the Lord taught the night of the Last Supper. I am going away, and I will come back for you, and where I am going, you will be too. My Father's house has many dwelling places. This is confirmed by Mary, who was the first to see the risen Lord. She saw him in the garden outside the empty tomb and finally recognized him because he was whole and well, not bloody and flogged, but in a glorified body. It is confirmed by doubting Thomas in the upper room when the resurrected Lord appears to him and Thomas touches the nail holes in Jesus' hands and puts his hand in his side. Jesus has a body, and Thomas touched it. It is confirmed by the other apostles who ate fish for breakfast with the risen Lord at a campfire by the sea. They all came to the conclusion that the resurrection of Jesus paves the way for us to be resurrected in glorified bodies as well, which is great news for all of us. I read a book this past summer by Peter Attai called Outlive: The Science and Art of Longevity. In it, he gives advice to hopefully achieve a full, long, healthy, active life, something we all want. For our earthly bodies to be as whole and healthy as possible for our entire life. I actually think we all secretly hope that we will live to some ripe old age, like 95, and that the day before we die, we will be in our right mind, out riding our bikes, lunching with friends, or working in our gardens, before we go to bed that night and die peacefully in our sleep. But if it does not work out quite that way for you or for one you love, do not worry about your body in heaven, what it will be like. Because it won't be like the one here, scarred, broken, and worn out. That is the stuff of the earth, the dust of our lives. When we make our journey to heaven, when we are resurrected to join our Lord, we too will put on our new body for our new life. The seed of this life will be the basis of our flowering in the next. And as those who saw our risen Lord will confirm, our glorified body will be whole and good. Amen. Please join me as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.